might not, right, how do you bid? Like, I feel like I'm not bidding right.
It's these buttons up top.
Yeah, yeah, but it keeps telling me I'm not putting in a proper bid. So can you pause it?
You may not be putting in enough, Sal.
It means that someone else has already bid in that time.
So somebody's at 4 years.
Here, I'll pause it for a second just to make sure we're all aligned here.
Every single time I press it, it says my auction is not high enough. So I just want to make sure I'm definitely getting bids in.
Yeah, you are getting bids in.
It just means that, it's just going fast. It'll slow down towards the end of the bidding when it's down to like.
I see Sal had a bid at 3 years, $5 million. So yeah, it's working.
It went in, Kyle. You saw me make a bid?
Yeah, if you look at auction history, you can see your team there.
Yeah, and then it has three. The latest bid I see is you have 3 years, $37.5 million, Sal.
All right, listen, do you expect me to look at history and the thing and the clock?
No.
I'm 112 years old over here. Take it easy. I'm just kidding. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Thank you. I'm gonna
unpause this. Reset. Antonio Gibson, the prize piece of the Reality Sports Friends of Reality Pod Guest League auction piece. Here we go. Current bid, 4 years. $44 million, Antonio Gibson, 23 years old, definitely the highest rated player on a lot of boards, especially at a premium running back position. Mark, what do you think about Gibson this year?
Going big on him. I love it. I love the role in the offense. I love his skill. You know, this isn't a guy who just needs to be volume based. He's high efficiency. He's a dynamic all-around player, and I think he's only got room to grow from here, honestly.
Yeah, and by the way, for everyone's reference for later on his playing, this is Mark Pesavento, former executive from the NFL, Yahoo Sports, et cetera. So Mark is a longtime Reality Sports Online player going into his ninth season, and I'm in a couple leagues with Mark. All right, now we got Tyler entering the waiting room. All right, we got Kyle Senra, 4 years, $88.5 million. Sal Lado with the biggest stack of cap space at $60 million, continues to be a player. Kyle Dvorak, NBC Sports, Sports Edge, defending champion. He is in the room and bidding. Most of the other premium guys in positionally seem to be a little bit, receiver seems to be the heaviest in the pool given this year two of this league. Bidding is getting up near 100 million.
As it should, right? This is kind of what I anticipated, Goody, as we're going into year two. When you have one premium, like first or second rounder that's sitting at auction, they tend to fetch a big price, right? Like you pay for that player. So in a traditional redraft league, like he's probably our only true first rounder that's still out there. So
for sure.
I have been grayed out.
He dropped.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Usually it's because somebody didn't franchise him. He was probably on a rookie deal, one year deal. I had the same issue with like Claypool, Herbert, Chenault.
Mm.
I mean, I had a ton of guys that I gave 1 year deals to. And right. Hindsight was a stupid move, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah, but you're getting your feet. You got cap space, you know.
When we did the startup auction, I didn't play the how many years contracts you could give out. That was my biggest mistake in the startup auction, was how many guys I could give a 3-year deal to, how many guys I could give a 4-year deal to, how many guys I could give a 2-year deal to, et cetera.
Yeah.
Where the hell did Kyle pull his money from? He dumped his roster, didn't he?
Kyle Senra? Yeah, he dumped some of his roster.
Hey, didn't Kyle win?
Kyle Dvorak won last year. He dumped Ronald Jones, I think, was his only dump move to do this, but seems to be all in on one guy. I share, because I'm commissioner, I have to align to a team. I see Luke's screen is grayed out right now. Obviously, he cannot bid anymore on these guys.
Come on, Sal. Don't be a sissy. Just push him to like 50 million a year. Let's go.
You know, the problem is, Bob, I feel if I start to type it, I'm not going to get it in time.
Yeah.
You just got to
clear. We're approaching 4 for $127 here.
Right. But yeah.
What is he, Goody? Do you have like, what is he like going to be for the league? Like RB, like, salary wise, like RB3, RB?
No.
That's going to be RB1 in terms of salary, I think. Like, I remember the winners
have nothing so.
Taylor High, but.
No, yeah. I paid Saquon Barkley $42 million.
Too. I remember is one of the bigger contracts last year. Yeah. That
Jim wouldn't even hire for Zeke.
Yeah,
this is a very reasonable contract still for a second year in the auction, I think, right? Like this tends to be we have a lot of running back getting paid a lot of money in this league.
Right. So let me recap for everybody who we have on this. We have my fantasy co-host Luke Patrick, who's got a nice team in this league. We got from FF Funhouse and the SFB Podathon, Sal Lado. From Full Press Fantasy, Kyle Senra, a good friend of the pod. Helping me with the play-by-play, good friend Mark Pesavento, formerly of the NFL, Yahoo Sports. We got Tyler, you're at 4 for $4. He's bidding. So sorry, Tyler Beaker, former number
fantasy guru.
A fancy guru. I'm sorry. Tim Aylesworth is filling in as a proxy. Tim from the podcast league for Kyle Dvorak from NBC Sports Edge, who is traveling this week. They had a strategy session this week, so I think Tim's a good person to carry out on that. And then I'm not seeing everyone else. We got the FF engineer Kevin O'Brien's on the call. Sean Washko and Ray Marzarella also joining us from the Roto Underworld side of the fence, player profiler. So we've got a good group here. Bob Long from the FF Expo, obviously, as well, and our write-in from last year who did a great job, almost made the playoffs. I think maybe he did make the playoffs. This team's called the Winners from Houston, Texas. Joseph Babalola. And of course, Graham Barfield as well. I miss Graham. Maybe because he doesn't have that much money to spend this year. I wasn't thinking about Graham, but we're all in here. They're still bidding. We're up to 4 and 182 for Kyle Senra for Antonio Gibson. With that type of salary, you better hope that McKissick's not taking third downs, right?
Yeah. Well, I could just leave it right now and have Kyle be completely out of the rest of the thing with his $13,000.
I'm good with that.
Now you got to save some money for more QBs.
Shut your face, Kevin.
So I don't know if you saw, but Aaron Rodgers is available, Sal. Like, you really got to save some money there.
Last year, year one, Mark, Sal left the auction with Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen on a ridiculous contract, like $1 million a year, and Mahomes. But this is
all right, Kyle, this is
a one QB league.
The rich man's problem right there.
Oh, wow. I've never seen 1 year, $129 million. Kyle Senra wins 4 years, $186 million. Wowzers.
He's going to hate that contract in 2 years.
He's an RB.
Maybe I'll trade it.
Bob already hated his contract for Barkley.
Justin Herbert.
Oh, Justin Herbert. Let me get in on it.
I like Justin Herbert, and I know there's some things saying he may have a sophomore slump, but I'm a fan of this guy. I think Josh Allen's season from last year is within the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I don't know that he has the rushing for that, but he has unreal arm talent. I was so surprised by his rookie season. I did not expect that from him after having watched him a little bit at Oregon. I just didn't know he had that.
Frankly. Yeah. I know that was my main knock on him in Oregon. He had the amazing line, but he never seemed to like live up to the hype there, and then just killed it last year in Chargers offense. So Justin Herbert, second player on the board. There are RSO recommendations, but obviously that varies by league. So that's in your top left corner of the auction room, and obviously with the buttons that represent kind of the players' agents and the algorithm acting on behalf of the players for those who are a little newer to the platform. And at the, if you go back to the archives, last year we recorded this as well and went through the what a startup auction looked like. So this is second year, so you'll see as life cycles evolve, things change. Year two tends to be the fewest amount of star players in the player pool, but given how the contracts were with last year being COVID year, there is a little more talent for year two than typical.
And Goody, this is a 2QB league, correct?
No, this is a 1QB league.
Oh, okay.
If it was the 2QB mark, I'd be set. I got Mahomes and Josh Allen.
I know. I figured you with Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Aaron Rodgers last year. I thought that had to be a 2QB setup.
I didn't want to let them go too cheaply, but then with Josh Allen, it seemed like nobody, they froze, and I just landed them for $1 million, which was crazy.
That's amazing.
Right. Yeah, because even the high-end guys in one quarterback leagues over time fetch some money, unless you have 12 late-round QB disciples in there.
Now that I figured out the I got readjusted to the bidding and everything, I got to say this is the best way. This is legitimately the best way to play fantasy. Like, I wanted to put that tweet out today before we did this. The most realistic. Nobody's paying me to do the commercial, by the way, if you're listening to this.
No, we love you. Yeah, I know. I'm good. You're like, wink, wink. Send some more sugar wishes, right?
Oh, you can send more sugar wishes.
Hey, Matt, this is Bob. You need to definitely come and get a booth at the expo next year, man.
Yeah, we're going to be there.
This up if they know how it worked.
Yeah, no.
I agree with Sal.
Yeah, we will be there. Luke and I will be there next year. I think the hard part has been the timing. A lot of folks are already doing their auctions in mid-August, but I don't care. Even if this is for like the next year, and just for us to hang out with all of you great people. So,
yeah. No, I think I reached out to you, Bob. This is so funny, you guys, but I literally would have been there this year, except my grandmother is still alive and doing well, and she has been begging me since before COVID to come take a trip to visit my family.
Oh, well, that's fine,
She picked the weekend of the expo, and I was like, well, I'm certainly not going to say no to a grandmother that's been
no,
hanging on.
Absolutely you don't. No, I totally agree with that one, yeah.
Yeah, but my wife died laughing. She was like, I cursed when I got off the phone. She's like, what? What's wrong? Is she okay? And I was like, she's fine. She's actually really great. I'm really happy to see her, but.
But damn it.
Right. Next weekend, Grandma.
Yep.
I was planning on the 20th.
Yep. No, but Bobby, honestly, like that was such a nice infusion of energy into even the Twitter space. Like it was just, it was like a love fest before everything exploded.
It was even better live. I mean, it just, you know, and I think obviously, you know, COVID had something to do with it. People were just excited to get out of the house, but it was really just exactly what I was wanting it to be, basically a fantasy football reunion but also helping the people out there that can come and learn from the experts. And it was exactly what I wanted to be. And I look forward to making, you know, I've already met with the Hall of Fame Village. We're probably going to have the party, you know, at the stadium this year. So yeah, we're really looking forward to a big year.
Yeah. Wow. Very cool. To recap, a couple quick player updates. Justin Herbert, also to Kyle Senra, 4 years, $20.5 million. So that kind of resembles a rookie contract. I like that a lot. Aaron Rodgers, 2 years, $2 million for Ray. That's a good deal too. Even if he just plays this year in Green Bay, that's great for that type of production, and especially like efficient quarterbacks in this scoring format is really solid. So we got Chase Claypool on the board right now. Up to 4 and 40.5.
Mark, can you talk a little more about how the efficiency in the scoring system should impact how owners would value quarterbacks?
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, a lot of times you have running quarterbacks that seem to be the darlings of leagues. But in this particular league, I think first downs, I'm pretty sure we have first down scoring turned on, as well as completions. So I think the quarterbacks are pretty accurate and have low touchdown and interceptions are pretty punitive. So let me see and pull up those league settings. I do think it's similar to some of the leagues we're in together, Mark. And kind of like that Scott Fishbowl type scoring. Let's see what we have for quarterbacks. But, you know, hyper efficient QBs like Drew Brees, like a Drew Brees type, has done very well in this format. So, yeah, we have bonuses at 300 yards passing. So certainly the Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Mahomes types, really good, bonuses for long TDs. Pass completions are half a point. Incompletions are negative quarter of a point. Interceptions are only negative one in this, but return for a touchdown is negative three. So not super punitive, so pretty solid. All right, everyone is deep on bidding. So Chase Claypool goes to Sal, 4 years, $53 million. Good guy from Notre Dame, Mark.
Yeah, as an Irish fan, you're not going to hear me talk trash about Claypool. I love the big body receiver. I think they use him really well in Pittsburgh. Obviously, there's some questions about what happens when Ben moves on or is shoved out. But, you know, in terms of the skill set, I think it will, you know, be there for the next 10 years. He's just that big bodied receiver that, you can throw that jump ball to. And there aren't many better players in the NFL with the ball in the air than Claypool.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that the contract is, you know, I think one thing to be said with this depressed NFL cap this year and this being the second year, it's kind of the perfect convergence. I think a guy like Claypool, if he popped up in another auction that was, you know, in different space, 4 years and $53 million I would say, below market for what he would be going for in a startup auction.
I think that's a good point. I was just reading that the NFL cap ceiling for next year that they had agreed upon, like $208 million. I don't know what that means. 208, 210, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means for the cap itself, but I would imagine probably somewhere between where the cap had been in 2020, which I think was about, what was it, 202 million or something, 200 million?
Something like, yeah, it was like 198, I think.
So I guess my question is, what do you think the cap will be next year, and how do you think that should impact how our drafters are approaching today?
Right. No, that's a great question. I mean, I think it's hard because it's like you have to fit within the confines of what the reduction is this year, but then you have the ability to kind of take it up and spread things out. So I think whereas a lot of people could rely on one-year deals in the past is just a way to be a little more risk averse, I think that the way to capitalize on the cap being lower this year is to try to spread guys out a little bit.
Yeah, part of the reason I have a bit more cap space to start this than others was I did a lot of one-year contracts last year, kind of unsure of, okay, long-term commitments. I made big long-term investments on McCaffrey and Michael Thomas, unfortunately, but a lot of one-year guys. And then I traded away Cortland Sutton, freed up more space. So I think that helped then. So, but you're right to kind of, I've already used both my 4 year contracts. So you're
right. Yeah. That's Kyle Senra. And obviously you decided to put Michael Thomas on the IR. So you're not going to get him back this season. And that's kind of a key, like walk us through what you like that decision and what you did this week to do that, because you know Michael Thomas isn't, it's not like he's missing the whole season. He's been a top fantasy wide receiver in the past, so that certainly wasn't an easy decision, but walk through like what you thought like would bear out with the auction and why you did that.
So part of my thinking was looking at who was available, and I obviously zeroed in on Antonio Gibson, the big contract I gave to him. And at that point, you know, again, back to Sal, he had the most cap space. I think it was at $60 million, and the $16 million I saved from Thomas made it significant that I was, you know, pretty close to Sal, to where, you know, if he really wanted to, he could bully me with his full cap space and take Gibson no matter what, but it would also cost him a lot. So I kind of banked on not that not happening. And yeah. So I guess that was really it. I think if let's say Gibson wasn't here and the rest of the list of players, I probably wouldn't have done that. But I really wanted Antonio Gibson.
Right. And just looking at what your cap commitments in 2022, which updates as this auction progresses, is already up to $157 million. But to Mark's point, we are looking at an ascending cap for the NFL that, I would imagine would be around $200 million baseline with a ceiling of $210 million. So that certainly makes the dynamics of this interesting. All right, Luke gets a Viking here. That was the big yay. 4 years, $6 million for Irv Smith, an ascending tight end for the Viking organization. Luke, well, let's get you on here for a second. Right before this auction started, you traded Odell Beckham Jr. for $19.4 million and Mike Evans for $14.4 million in a pretty nice multi-year contract. So about $34 million total salary to our friend Bob Lung from the Fantasy Football Expo and the consistency guy and all that, big guy fantasy sports. For Saquon Barkley, $42 million a year, multiple year deal. Kind of walk through like the thought, and you also gave Matt Ryan away for $2.8 million to the winners, who's Joe. Walk us through those cap, the moves you were making there, and like pre-auction and how that fits in strategically with what you're trying to do. Luke, I have to hop off for a little bit.
You just bit.
No, he just bid on Smith. Maybe he's not on the chat for a little bit, though.
Oh, he won Irv Smith, and he's taking his tight end going home.
Yeah, his victory. Yeah, his tight end victory lap. Tim, you're on the call. I got a question for you. Now that Gibson is off the board, and I know you had some instructions to get Gibson, just like ran out of money, right?
Yeah, it was funny. It just goes to show you how people can, you know, we can all go into an auction estimating what we think someone might go for and really not be close. So Kyle gave me a wish list, a grocery shopping list, and he had underestimated what Gibson would go for by about $15 million a season.
Okay.
I mean, we were joking in the chat for like weeks, me and Sal were going to bid like 50.
Yeah,
maybe you thought we were joking, but we were willing to go high. Yeah.
I came around on Myles Gaskin recently, and seeing him there was the reason I kind of let Gibson go. Now I'm not comparing the two to each other,
right?
But knowing I have some other running backs, I have a really deep wide receiver core. I was willing to let him go for that price.
It's basically a third of the value of Gibson. So
right. I like that contract for you, Sal. Myles Gaskin, who we've talked at length on the pod, 2 years, $28 million to Sal. I'm familiar with him being, up here in Seattle, University of Washington's all-time leading rusher, like three really good seasons. I mean, that includes a Corey Dillon monster season when he was here. So catches the ball well, and Miami didn't draft another running back. I know that, everyone on Twitter got a little nervous when Malcolm Brown out snapped him in week one of the preseason, but I mean, I think this guy's electric, and on a two-year deal, I think, Miami certainly has the picks that they can pick a running back next year if they want to go that direction, but I think that Gaskin is the electric guy in that backfield in Miami, and I think that's a valuable role.
It's just Luke basically bid against me, so I jumped in and drew a 28 for two, knowing he couldn't get any higher than that. Just got him out of my way.
Yeah, no, it's a good deal. And then, looking, Sal, if I'm looking at your team for a second, you still have $34.7 million, so that's close to the most in the room. Kyle Dvorak has some. But Josh Allen and Mahomes still, obviously you could trade one of them, probably Mahomes if – but you drafted Michael Carter in the rookie draft. You have Montgomery and Gaskin. You got Fant and Pitts at tight end. So very solid there.
Michael Carter, other guy.
Justin Jefferson. Yeah, very high-end receivers. So
I'm expecting Michael Carter to actually be the guy in that backfield this year, which would be nice. And I think I got a nice deal on him. His salary is real nice.
Yeah, I mean, what we were seeing in a lot of the rookie drafts with Michael Carter was he was kind of the last – at least earlier on in the rookie draft season, he was kind of the last viable guy before it got very speculative. Now, like that, Ramondre Stevenson has shown out a little bit. Nico Collins, like it's pushed like past pick 20, I would say, or close to that. But it at least in super flex, if it's not super flex, it's still, you know, a little dicier. Now, like, Mark, you had a rookie draft yesterday. I know a couple of you are in multiple RSO leagues. I think Tyler is. Mark, where did ATN go in yours? Even the
So my league that drafted its rookie draft yesterday is a 10-teamer, 2-quarterback, so super flex league. So quarterbacks are really valuable. ETN went 14th overall.
Yeah. Which I mean, he was going in the top eight otherwise, so before the injury.
Yes, this draft stretched over multiple days. At the time of the injury, we were on pick 8 or 9, and he had not been drafted. I was on the clock for 9 and 10, and was not going to pick him there. I had doubts just for other reasons. I think he's a fine player, but I don't know. I didn't want to get involved in the Jacksonville mess. And then when the injury happened, I was surprised that he went at 14. I thought he might fall a little further than that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because, like, with that Liz Frank injury, I mean, you guys know this a little bit. Like, what's your risk tolerance on ATN now if you were picking him in the rookie draft where you had him for 4 years at, you know, between 2 million. I mean, if you win the first round, it would be about 4 million a year. Would you guys like completely bypass him out of the first round? Or would you hope that like next year, halfway through the season, he'd be viable? Does anyone have any thoughts?
I've actually been contemplating sending some late first rounders. Like if I'm confident that my team is going to be solid this year, and if somebody wants a first round pick for 2022 for him, I've been contemplating shipping out some of those offers.
Yeah.
Do you guys have fifth year rookie option for first rounders?
I think we do, but since we're only in year two of this life cycle, then it's down the line a bit.
Okay.
Because it won't, you know, won't be like in a couple more years.
Yeah. I read some scary kind of statistics about the, I don't know what it's like for athletes to come back from Liz Frank, especially skill athletes. And I hope for the best for the kid. I just, in the second round, I don't think it's risky at all. In the first round, maybe your thought process is if you have a fifth year rookie option and he hits, then maybe you get that year back at kind of a reduced price versus the market. But I'm not sure I would do a first rounder in a 2-quarterback league anyway.
Yeah, so we've had about 10 players go in this so far. Robert Tonyan was the most recent, going to Bob for 2 years, $6.5 million. Certainly a lot of touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers is one of his favorite targets last year. Robbie Anderson just goes on a 3-year deal to the winners, to Joe, $14.5 million total. LaVisca Chenault goes to Kyle, 4 years, $35.5 million. Tim, do you have any nuggets on any type of post strategy now that you got your guy?
Kyle only, his grocery list was mainly about two guys, Antonio Gibson and LaVisca Chenault. So I knew I whiffed on Gibson while we just ran out of money. Yeah. So I was not going to leave here without LaVisca and have to answer to Kyle. So that's really what it came down to. And we got him for less than Claypool. So I'm happy.
Right. Yeah. No, 4 year. And he figures with the injury to ATN, I mean, they do figure to use him a lot in the short, the short yardage game. He certainly can run the ball too. So certainly somebody that Jacksonville offense is anyone's guess really who's going to produce in it, but they should have plenty of opportunity. And then something I don't want to gloss over from before. The engineer, Kevin nominates Mike Williams. Mike Williams is a guy I really like. Had a 1,000-yard season, 10 touchdowns. I expect, you know, him to go for a decent amount of money. Kevin, when you can talk about it, let's talk about your Damian Harris contract.
So obviously targeting Gibson, but wasn't going to go that high for an RB as a not quite zero RB guy, but, you know, I'm probably in that modified, whatever terminology you want to use. So I'm not really a guy that wants to pay up that kind of money, especially over 4 years for a running back.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, maybe a little bit of Patriot homerism, not getting Michelle to be mucked up in the way. I think Mac Jones is going to eventually start and not steal goal line carries.
Yeah.
And then it's him and Stevenson. And I'm not afraid of a two person backfield versus a 3-4-5 person backfield. So,
right. Yeah. No.
And then I think the contract's reasonable compared to like a Barkley at 45 or whatever it is. And people are already trying to shed it.
Yeah.
I mean, Gurley was up at 28 ish. And I think Luke was just trying to give him away. So, I mean, I've seen some really bad running back contracts that people are already want out of it after 1 year.
Right.
Where you don't see anybody really wanting out of a wide receiver contract 1 year out.
Right. So Damien Harris went my thinking there. Damien Harris, for everyone who will listen in the future, 2 years, $25.5 million total. Definitely figures to be a RB2, I think, with upside for this fantasy season. And then Mike Williams just went to Kyle Dvorak for Tim bid on him, 2 years, $4.5 million. I think that contract could really pop. I like that. I like that for his team. Now we got Chase Edmonds is on the board right now. Certainly someone interesting in the Arizona offense. Sal's up to 2 years, $11.5 million. Winners are trying to throw a 4 year contract at him. Getting around 17 million. So that those two, the winners, Joe and Sal, seem to be going back and forth on Edmonds a bit. But go ahead.
Just to touch on the big contract, I guess we could spend a big amount of time on it with Antonio Gibson. It ends up being, you know, it was $40 million this year, and it'll eventually behemoth further than that, but it actually ends up being lower than what the franchise tag would have been. So if I had tried to trade for Gibson and then tag him, it would have cost me less than what I got in the auction. So I was also aware of that price.
Right.
Like that was at like $43 million. So it's just under that. It was getting close to that range, but that was also a factor too. We'll see 4 years from now if I regret that. But
right. Well, also though, like it does drive up, for instance, like when contracts like just for the guys, because this is only in the second year of this league, as the rookie options come up for running backs, like the fifth, what you almost see is like a bell curve of running back stuff, because you start seeing running backs like Najee Harris on rookie deals, and then you see the guys in the startup auction who went for a lot of money, and then as those players cycle through their fourth, fifth year, and then they go on maybe the franchise tag cycle where you're paying top five average salary, the fifth year rookie option is a top 10 average salary. So like what you almost see is like a bell curve of how running back salaries turn over time in a league. Obviously the premium guys, like if it was a startup, go for, you know, around 4 years, $40 million a year, et cetera. But like the rookie contracts, obviously like $8 million a year for like, who has Najee Harris in this league? Not sure.
I do. It's just over seven.
Yeah. So just like seven, 8 million. Yeah. So. So you have 4 years of at that price with small escalators, and then you year five will be whatever the top 10 average is for the position at the time, if you know, and then you choose whether you pick that up or not. Chase Edmonds goes to Luke, 4 years, $30.5 million. I'm surprised to see Luke give a running back 4 years, because he typically doesn't. This is a guy though, for the Roto Underworld, for the player profiler thing, Luke did a segment on Chase Edmonds. I know he likes him a lot in that offense. So he is kind of getting his guy, I think. And also maybe spreading out that 4 year contract if it doesn't work out, just over time. Mark, I know you had some thoughts about like the Connor versus Edmonds.
So we could play
I don't know about strong thoughts, but I just sort of like when you sort of look at the way the Cardinals have utilized Edmonds in the past, They have had the opportunity to give him the ball at the goal line and they just don't. And I think it sort of depends on your league scoring system, how important touchdowns are. But like I would be afraid that they're going to continue that trend and make Connor kind of the inside the, you know, scoring area guy and leave the rest to Edmonds, which is fine. That could make him a useful player. But I do think it kind of puts him in that like running back, the sort of dreaded running back dead zone.
Right. For sure. Corey Davis goes to Sal for 1 year, $5.5 million. That's a nice little contract too. Looking at kind of pivoting for a second, looking at the defending champ, Kyle Dvorak, who still has $27 million. He's got a roster of Kyler Murray at quarterback. He went RB0 in the past, and he did drop Ronald Jones. So he has Kareem Hunt and Kenneth Gainwell are his running backs. So that leaves a lot to be desired. Tyler Higbee at tight end. Jerry Jeudy, Rashad Bateman, we got in the rookie draft. Devontae Adams, Juju Smith-Schuster, Calvin Ridley, Chenault, Cooper, Mike Williams, and Cornell Powell, all at wide receivers. So one tight end. So obviously, if there's any other running backs, that could be something that he may need. But very strong at receiver, maybe can make a trade as well. So certainly interesting. All right, Curtis Samuel goes 3 years, $4.5 million to Kyle Senra. We now have Austin Hooper on the clock, someone in an offensive likes to throw the tight end a little bit. All right, Kyle gets him for league minimum, $500K, potential good touchdown guy. Kyle Senra got him. Did I see Luke pop back on? Here's James Connor.
I just went looking through some of the running back contracts and I mean, this is just like brutal for me, like as a guy who doesn't like running backs, but like even the teams that won, like you mentioned who won last year, Kyle has Hunt, who is a zero RB, cost $20 million this year.
Right.
Which is incredible. And then like Miles Sanders, I think was put on IR at $43 million.
Right.
And then Leonard Fournette's at 26.7. Melvin Gordon's 21.9. Even
somebody tried to trade all those guys to me today.
Jacobs is 31. You know, I mentioned, I think it was Luke that was trying to get rid of Gurley at 20 something million. And then, you know, we have just massive people trying to unload these running back contracts 1 year out already. You know, Bob traded Barkley today.
Yeah. I think, Kevin, I think some of that is like this depressed cap. Like, I mean, one thing about it is like typically in an auction, there could be teams that have like $100 million of cap space.
But Goody, let me stop you there. The reason that they're cap strapped is because they gave running backs so much money.
Sure. No, I know. But what I'm saying,
that exists.
Yeah, no, for sure. That like, and different people have different levels of prudence with that, like in how a startup works and everything else. But for sure, like, I don't know that you'd see like the drastic. I'm just talking about like, it's not even a word, but like the drasticity of moves. Like you wouldn't see a guy like Michael Thomas being put on IR to save cap space typically. Like you would see like Larry Fitzgerald on a long-term contract maybe put on IR because he didn't retire and someone.
How about Miles Sanders? He's not even hurt.
Right, exactly. But that's the type of stuff that people are doing just to kind of participate in the auction and not be only confined to minimum level players. This when the cap goes up to $200 million next year, I don't think you'd see things to the level, to the extent of those type of moves is what all.
Yeah, the cap just dropped for the first time in history, so yeah. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Right, and that's what I'm talking about, like joking about the drasticity of it. But yeah, all right. I like Kenyon Drake, 1 year for $4 million. Sal's building up his running backs. All right, Cole Kmet. Anyone think Cole Kmet could be a top 12 tight end this year? I mean, everybody talks about top 12 tight ends all the time.
No.
No.
I could be a top 12 tight end.
Yeah, no, that's what it's always like.
It just takes three receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown.
I know. I think who was it today? Like maybe it was Dave Kluge or whatever. It was like listed like 15 running backs who could be running back one. And I was like, well, I could get just Galba's phone number. I probably won't, but.
No, you definitely wouldn't.
Yeah, for sure. but whatever, you could ask, right?
Well, to answer your question, no one bid up on Kmet, so he went for 1 year, 500,000. So apparently, no one believes in him, other than whoever nominated him.
I believe in him this year, but I have Pitts and fans, so I stayed out of it. But even Logan Thomas is a good price.
Wow. 4 years, though.
It was 4 years. No, forget it.
4 years, he's like 12 million.
37 years old already. So.
Yeah. He's 30.
He's old. He's old, and I'm the one saying it.
Yeah, I do like that deal. And to Graham's point, the deal on Corey Davis. Oh, here's a guy I wrote up for Player Profiler. Darnell Mooney. Talk about potential high variance guy right here.
I have zero shares anywhere in any other league.
No?
So maybe I'll go in here.
Yeah. He's I'd love to have this guy in best ball for sure. I mean, even if it's Andy Dalton for a decent amount of time, he's a better quarterback than most of these guys have had.
It won't be Andy Dalton for very long.
I know. I know you're a Bears fan and like Fields, yeah. Well, I it's gonna be week 4, I think. Like, right? I think they just don't want to throw Fields to the wolves in that game against the Rams in week 1.
Yeah.
So Mooney's up to, all right, Ray's got 3 years, $9.5 million. Ray, former professional wrestler. Bob's been in on the action. Let's take a peek at Bob. Like, let's see what Lawrence Fields.
This team stinks.
Lawrence Fields, Lamar Jackson. I mean, he got great value on Justin Fields.
Yeah.
Raheem Mostert, who had that little back injury scare yesterday, but luckily came up unscathed, because I do like that guy as a home run hitter.
But I also have Trey Sermon.
Yeah, you have Sermon and Mostert and Eckler. Tanyan, you've got in the auction. You got Mike Evans and Galladay, Tyreek Hill, Tanglama, very strong.
Yeah, so I had Tanyan for $6 million for 1 year deal. Didn't want to obviously re-sign him. Got him back for $3 million. So I thought that worked out well.
Yeah. No, there you go. So it happens sometimes with this, but you guys are definitely liking the format, it sounds like.
Oh yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
But I wasn't in 35. Definitely a learning experience. I would probably spend more time with it.
Sorry, who said about the learning experience? I didn't hear. I catch who said that.
Oh, I did. I was saying it was definitely a learning experience. I didn't have too much experience with auction drafts prior to this, obviously. But I'm actually heavily enjoying it.
Yeah.
Well, goody, I've returned. I went out to catch out another kind of football, picked my daughter up from practice. Sorry if I left anybody hanging. You said you asked me a question and I was out on the pitch. What's up, man?
Yeah, so we got Jalen Hurts going. So why don't we talk, like, 1 second. Mark has to go in a minute. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts quickly. And then, Luke, we'll talk to you about the trades you made today pre-auction. I just want to take a peek inside, like, the hood, like, under the hood of the strategy here. So, Mark, Jalen Hurts is up. Obviously, kind of one of those Konami code quarterbacks. What type of years would you be giving him, kind of knowing what you know about the dynamic in Philadelphia now?
Quite honestly, that's my question for this group, because I'm facing the same situation where I have two auctions coming up. I need quarterbacks. I want to give multiple years to Jalen Hurts. I personally not have any connection to the Eagles, but I personally feel like he's a stud and he's just going to continue to get better. I don't necessarily know that he's a top 10 NFL quarterback, but I think he's definitely a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And I don't really see how the Eagles are going to do better anytime soon. It's not like they're going to probably not going to have a top 10 draft pick. Like you're going to grab Deshaun Watson. Like that seems way riskier than just like staying the course and investing in, you know, the high character, productive young quarterback that you have on a rookie deal. It just seems like it would make no sense for the Eagles to dump him anytime soon.
I think the only thing that scares me is the fact that the Eagles were trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, which doesn't give me a lot of confidence that they have confidence in him. That would be my only concern.
Yeah.
I don't know. When a team like that who has this supposedly young and up-and-coming quarterback literally is going out of their way to try to trade for a guy that could be going to jail or not be playing, I mean, that just scares me. There's something doesn't make sense there. That would be my only concern about it.
Yeah, I 100% agree, to the point where I just wasn't sure that I believed those reports.
Yeah.
You know, that
was maybe that conjecture, yeah.
Well, I mean, where was that? I'm not casting doubt on any of the reporters that reported that. It's just more like what side benefits from that information. It's clearly Houston. They want to drive a market for this asset that was, you know, had sky high value as of 3 months ago and now is useless, worthless.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're the Eagles, though, wouldn't you be the first to come out and say, we have never even come close of trying to trade, make that? I would at least call the bluff and go, no, that was never a discussion. We are not, you know, show some faith, show some, you know, support in your guy and say, no, we are not trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. Jalen Hurts is our guy. We're going forward. We never heard that.
I 100% agree. I thought it was one of the weirdest things that I've
seen. Yeah, that's what scares me. Yeah. You know, it's like if the Eagles come out and deny it immediately and say, no, this is our guy, Hurts is our guy, but when nobody comes out and backs you as the young starting quarterback, that scared the hell out of me. That's why I'm not going anywhere near Hurts, but I don't know. It just bothers me.
I think that's a little bit of old school football versus other schools. Like Belichick would never comment. He would just say, we're focused on the guys here. And he would continue to do it. But then there was something recently that Kyle Shanahan, like they asked him, are you going to name a starting quarterback? He came out and goes, no, we're going to give all the first team reps to Jimmy G and we're not even going to think about it. And he makes this comment, and then 2 weeks later, he's going back on it and now looks like an idiot because he's saying that he's going to give Lance first team reps. And now, like one of the beat reporters commented and they said, he opened this door for us to chase him about it. Oh, you said this. Oh, you said that. And then all of a sudden, if there was an agent conversation with anyone from the Eagles gets out, now it's just fodder for media. And a lot of these old school guys, like the guy, I can't think of his name now, at the Eagles, it's just that they're easier. They'd rather just say, what are you talking about? You know, get out of here with that. You know, not even like qualify it with an answer. I think that's usually what happens with that stuff. They don't even want to discuss it. And they don't want follow-on questions. But
yeah.
I mean, Watson's kind of a hot button topic right now. I don't think any of them want to really even talk about him. You know,
but wasn't San Francisco also the team that before the draft said they were definitely taking, I forget which quarterback, and then went and took Lance?
Yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't say anything. They know how to play the game too, but I think that's different than the Jalen Hurts situation.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, I drove John Lynch during Hall of Fame week and he told me they did that on purpose. You know, they were throwing the bait out there that somebody would think they were going to take. And I don't remember which one it was. I want to say it was Zach.
But he says that after fact, he's like, nobody's telling me who we're picking.
Right. Yeah.
It was Mac Jones.
Mac Jones. That's right. Yeah. Right. And, you know, John's like, oh, yeah, we put that out there. We wanted to see if people bid on it. I'm like, well, of course you did. Why would you not?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I don't know about Hurts. I'm kind of like, in this format, I'd probably give him a 2-year deal, but not more than that.
Yeah, he went for 3 years, $7 million to Luke.
Not terrible.
Right? Yeah, he has a
yeah, that's fine.
And yeah, Luke has Tua and Hurts, so he has the Alabama quarterbacks.
It's also one QB, so.
Yeah, exactly. So interesting for sure. All right. Kyle Senra goes David Johnson, 1 year, $1 million. Mark, I think you said you had to hop off. So thanks for joining. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate the,
Thank you, Mark.
As always. And
thanks for coming out.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for having me. Good luck the rest of the way and good luck this season.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right. So Luke, okay, you just got Hurts. You gave away Matt Ryan for $2.5 million. You traded OBJ and Mike Evans for Saquon Barkley. Share with our loyal following what was going on with those trades and rationale and all that.
The Matt Ryan rationale, everyone just saw it play out in the auction. I thought that I would use that $2.5 million slot, knowing how, looking around our league, most people had quarterbacks, and I was like, their values will be depressed at auction as people chase positions of need. I actually am mad at myself for backing out on Herbert earlier. I think I would have preferred to use the two. He didn't go for much more than that. And so ideally I would have stayed in on that, but I wanted the Konami code that was not available to me in Matt Ryan's production. And that's why I did that. So I view that as a 1-for-1 swap. Basically, I traded Ryan away for free, knowing that I'd be able to get a quarterback I liked, at least upside wise, more later. That's how I viewed that transaction.
Okay, and how about the other one where you got Saquon Barkley, $42 million this year, and I think you have him for a couple years beyond that, for OBJ, who expires at the end of this year, $19.5 million, and Mike Evans, who's on a pretty team-friendly contract for the next, I think, 3 years, about $14.5 million this year.
Yeah, this one just came down precisely to, I don't know how often I'm going to get an opportunity to pay Saquon Barkley. I've often been in a place where he's just going at a spot where I like some other running backs more. Bob was looking to move some salary for this auction so he could play in the sandbox. And we talked things through and he held firm on his side. And I think he was right to demand that the Evans contract, which was one of my best ones, and OBJ doesn't have any future obligation. And I thought, you know, I much prefer running backs that can be potentially the number one running back overall. Like I'm trying to chase in Dvorak and some others, like, right. Like my team's in contention here. And so I thought that I would prefer Saquon Barkley in my starting lineup and whoever I landed auction. And in this case, it turned out to be Chase Edmonds. So I basically swap OBJ and Mike Evans for Saquon and Chase Edmonds. And I'm going to run with it.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. Yeah, as we were talking through that, it looks like Kyle Dvorak finally gets a running back. Daryl Henderson, 2 years, $13 million, which could be, I think, pretty good value here. I know Sonny Michel obviously got traded to the Rams yesterday, but I think that Henderson definitely still has a great part of that role. And obviously, Kyle, we talked about his zero RB stuff before, so I think Tim, who's bidding on his behalf, had to really go that direction. At some point, it was funny when we were talking and Tim was talking while Mike Davis was on the clock, I was kind of like in my head, like, hey, you probably have to bid on some running back for this guy. So good to see Kyle get Henderson, at least for those purposes. Some other players, another player I like. I like this contract, Gabriel Davis, 2 years, $2 million to Sean. Ron Washko, like that one. J.D. McKissick went to South Lindy for Valedo. 1 year, $1.5 million. He should have some third down duties. Antonio Brown, 1 year, $4.5 million. I think he was on Kyle's team last year. Voracek, and he's been, maybe not, but now he's back, like there with a more, just a, yet another receiver on that team. Tom Brady getting bid on right now. The winners get him. Joe, 2 years, $5 million for Brady. Very solid contract for a guy who's pretty accurate. So I think we've had 37 players signed in about an hour. And the cap's really going a long way for some of these teams. I'm not sure. Is anyone close to filling up all their team slots?
How many spots do we have?
20 total.
I think.
Yeah, I think I'm at 19.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's 20.
Yeah, I got 6 left.
Yeah, I think it's 20. So. Yeah, it's just like you can see in the roster list, it says like on your bench, like if your bench slots, like how many of 11, and then it doesn't help for at this point. You don't need me to share the screen on the auction thing, right? I was doing it for Mark's benefit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, you don't need that. Okay. All right. Now I can see faces or black screens again. So cool.
I think power to guy with long, you know, long upside. You know, I don't know if it'll come true this year, but
right.
I love when I see him in there. He looks to me like a guy that could play it as a regular starter.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Zeke's looking a little trimmer than he has in the past, so that could be. I mean, like, let's see if he stays a little healthier than he did last season.
I think it's key that everyone's doing multi-year contracts on Pollard for what they're bidding to, knowing that it's not even about this year as yeah. the most important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to speak to you guys about that for a second. This year, I view multi-year contracts as a way of deferring. Right, I view money this year as more valuable because we're also up against the cap. And with the spike in the cap next year, I just view longer term deals as a way of dispersing paying. And I don't feel as daunted about giving a long-term deal to a guy like Chase Edmonds, even if I know the last two of that deal is probably worthless. Do you guys think I'm reading the room right on that? Or like, I'm wondering how you all reacted when I was giving. I mean, that's not usually a contract I give. So.
Sorry, Luke. I was just realizing I missed the video on the whole time. So I missed everything you said.
Yeah, no, Luke, I did. When you bid 4 years on Edmonds, I was like, Luke typically doesn't give running backs 4 years. So I figured there was some type of deferment on that in case he didn't work or spreading it out. So I postulated that, but we didn't really talk about it at the time.
I'm curious on that. Like, Luke, do you read the room? Like, so like as a, and I don't know if you want to even strategically answer this question, but it feels like if you're a vet doing RSO, in 1 year in, you can kind of read the room like, okay, there are people that I can trade with to give away bad contracts and have some wiggle room where like in a normal dynasty league, like I would always fill that room out, whether I know I could trade away older vets or I knew there were going to be like people thirsty for rookie picks or so. Did you kind of feel out the league before you feel comfortable doing that? Or there might be another league where you're not as comfortable?
Yeah, Kevin, a little bit, but I will say, and Goody can attest to this, I'm pretty aggressive about offering high draft picks to move contracts that I don't like, just because I prefer to play at auction. I just think this is the most fun league. So if I really have a bad contract, I'll offer you like a 1.04 to get it off my team or a future first. And most people in most leagues I play in are like, yeah, you know what? I'll deal with that, because a lot of people defer to the preference for rookie contracts because of their dynasty background. So that's kind of where I look at how I approach sure. that.
Luke, if you don't mind me revealing some of your secrets here, because I don't know how many other people got this offer from Luke, but before he said, I'll give away Matt Ryan for free, he offered to me and a pick to get Matt Ryan. Like he was giving me the draft pick too. So see Luke doing that where that like one side's getting nothing, the other side's going to give you all away. But what the other side is receiving isn't players, it's cap space. So sorry, Luke, that I told him when you're
no, that's excellent, because I think that's illustrative for our list. That's exactly right, right? Like I'll give away a third rounder in Matt Ryan because in my head I think of it as a trade for Jalen Hurts, and that's a trade I'm comfortable making. So.
I really thought I was going to get Baker for the league minimum. I didn't even mean to nominate him. It went down to a second.
Jaron got him for $1 million.
Jaron is a great player. By the way, his team that he's built in the Writers League is a thing of beauty. Yeah, it's a really, really beautiful team.
Yeah.
So he's the one that I've been very impressed. He's leveraged his dynasty background, which, you know, we've all tried to do, I think, in RSO, but he's leveraged it in really cool ways in leagues that I've been in with him, both in this format and others. And I think it's really fascinating to watch the one he's built over there.
Yeah. Looks like Graham, nobody talked about, but Graham grabbed Tony Jones Jr. on a 1-year deal from the Saints.
I thought about bidding up, but in my opinion, he's a guy who's not a one. He's like not going to show this year. Listen, Sean has come out and said that he views him as the number two back right now. Mm-hmm. So if there's an injury, he could be in line for touches. But if there's an injury, I expect him to end up going back to the more experienced guy in Latavius Murray. But I would need to grab him on a 2 to 3 year deal, and I don't trust that he'll be with the 2 to 3 years.
Right, because I mean the Saints are definitely up against it with a cap too. So like if the player has, all right, so Nyheim Hines. We got Paris Campbell. Guy you always have to watch out for is Tyler. He's just quietly doing work all the time, and then you look and you're like, oh god, his team's really good.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, and honestly, Goody, like attesting this, in reality, the best part of fantasy is these moments when we get to be face to face. Like, you guys have been awesome to us, and Goody and I have reached a point in the in our podcast for the first time of its life, like we want to start bringing people back on. We've never really done so. So like those invites are going to start coming out.
Yeah.
And feel free based on your time to affirm or deny. It's no feelings hurt, but this is a lot of fun. And watching Luke, the way that you guys
are. That was beautifully poetic, except you don't have your video on.
Yeah. I'm still driving my daughter home from practice. I'm about 5 minutes away from you seeing this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'll come on anytime you guys want. I'd love to talk about this. I mean, I think it's a cool concept. I don't think enough people know about it. So,
yeah.
The same thing I thought to myself today. People don't know about it. I don't think that's a lack of you guys getting it out there. I think that there's just such a big Twitter community now. There's so many people that just haven't seen it. But
yeah,
I'm going to definitely start pushing it for sure.
So one aspect I'll add there, though, is that the people that I do know that they've known about it, one of the issues is getting 12 people that know about it and want to start it and join it and commit to it. Because I think one of the things I'd recommend, and I don't know if you guys have it, is pushing something where you have it on like a message board or a community boards where there's like-minded RSO people that want to try it that can meet up and get together and join it, right? Because I think that's harder to do. Is find 11 other guys or 9 other, whatever the size league is.
Right.
I think that's a really great insight. And I think you're right. In bigger forums like Roto Underworld or DLF or something, and like in a lot of the places where you guys work, we should be more active presence, just being like, hey, look, if you want to start a league, we've got guys that we can put you together with. And that's probably a good way of going about it.
Yeah, because it doesn't I try to retweet stuff when I see it, but it's not always. I don't catch everything, everybody isn't seeing it or not everyone follows me, so it's that there's some of that too. I think the RSO handle tries to do it, but there should be other forums for sure.
Well, I believe my roster is full.
So
let's see. Congratulations, you've emerged.
Oh, it says, I see your bench is 10 of 11. You may have one more, Sal.
Oh boy, I get to bid some people up.
And then the remaining cap space, like you can use for trades or fab or all that. So,
Goody, as you watch this as an impartial observer, first of all, it's kind of fun, right? Like, this is one of the few formats that I could do what you're doing and be entertained. But are there any contracts that have stood out to you along the way so far?
Today, in terms of what I like,
or just whoa, I can't believe Gibby went for 40 or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, I mean that was a pretty big. I was surprised he went for that much. I mean, I knew I kind of thought Sal or Kyle Dvorak would come away with him. I didn't really think about Kyle Sinner in that vein, but I understand the move. Contracts that I like so far. I mean, the quarterback thing, I really like that Justin Herbert deal. I mean, the Hurts deal is pretty interesting. I think that even David Johnson, 1 year, 1 million, when you're getting to this point with running back scarcity and all these other running backs costing so much money, you know, like just seeing some of those guys, like the McKissick type guys who can be valuable and can be super valuable if something else happens. You know, even like Graham just signed Jamal Williams 2 years, $8.5 million. I think people are sleeping on Jamal Williams, you know, so like, I think those things are interesting. I like Jaron's contract to Baker for $1 million. I really like the quarterback contracts. The Corey Davis contract was pretty nice because I think he's going to be really good this season. So I think he's a wide receiver one for the Jets. And Wilson's impressed me so far. I mean, Sal, you may know this a little more, like with the local media in New York, but I'm curious, like what they're talking about with Kyle Wilson right now.
Well, Jet fans are, you know, eternally pessimistic, right?
Yeah.
There was actually a guy who called up on the radio a couple of weeks ago that was like, all right, they literally said he's already a bust. What do we do? How do we move on? They're like, well, he hasn't taken a snap in the NFL. It's preseason. But actually, I've seen over the last week, and even in national media, a lot of the people have felt that he has looked the best overall out of all the quarterbacks in preseason, the rookie quarterbacks, that are actually guaranteed to be starting when the year begins. So you might have to wait on Lance and on Fields and guys like that. Mac Jones, you're not going to wait. He's definitely starting week one.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. And he's got some exciting receivers. Like, I mean, you could say what you want with all the hype of Elijah Moore, but like Jameson Crowder is still a really decent, good receiver. And I don't know if you guys, like, do you guys listen to our podcast? I know Senra, I know you do, but like, do you guys ever get a chance to?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't listened to any.
There's no offense. Like, we had on right before the draft, I went to college with a guy at Miami University who played receiver named Sly Johnson. And he made the Lions for a second, but he basically owns something down in South Florida called Premier Athletes, and he trains guys for the draft. And he had Elijah Moore since he was in seventh grade. And he's like, that kid just worked so hard. Like, you know, just like such a respectful kid. And we taught him to play like everywhere, basically. So it's like, if you hear, you know, we had him on the pod, and basically he's like, some may say he's a slot receiver. He's not. He can play on the outside. He's like, that guy is Steve Smith. That guy's Antonio Brown, you know, without the drama, basically. So like the Jets, it was a really interesting pod. You know, he trained.
I have a lot of Elijah Moore in other places. I like the player as well. But like you said, they signed Corey Davis. They had a nice connection in last week's preseason game.
Yeah.
Denzel Mims seems like an afterthought. He was a big, high draft pick wide receiver last year. And it seems like they've shifted from Herndon to Tyler Croft. Tyler Croft caught two touchdowns for Wilson
right last
week. So he's a sneaky tight end this year, Croft, if you're in tight end premium leagues and you need to add, you know, a guy for depth. I've been grabbing him lately also.
Right. Yeah. Bob grabs Zach Ertz for league minimum. Wow. Things have changed. Yeah. I've never been a Goddard fan, so it wouldn't surprise me if Ertz like still produces.
I think I gave Ertz $13 million last year or something like that. Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Wait, 1 year change.
I've actually been drafting Ertz as my backup tight end in every league I've been in. And I really believe that he'll get traded or he's going to beat out Goddard. I mean, they'll still use two tight ends, but I think Ertz will be very productive and you're getting him for free, as you just saw.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Sorry to interrupt. Who is the winners?
That is Joe. Joseph is on here.
I'm here.
Okay, that was just interesting. Just taking a fourth QB.
I know. I regret trading for Matt Ryan. I honestly didn't even see the pool. So I didn't even know all these different quarterbacks were available. If I did, I would not have traded for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
I have no interest for him. But I didn't know this much talent was available. My God.
Yeah, you still have a good, decent little stack though to play with in this. There's still some players that are interesting in here. So Ertz went, like to recap, Ertz, Beasley, James White, Sony Michel went 2 years, $2 million. Gus Edwards is kind of a, like, not a sexy guy, but like 1 year, $5 million is someone who can have like a pretty nice role. I still like Crowder, went 1 year, $1 million. Lazard went league minimum. And this is just after the Devin Funchess news, who's on IR again, so he may never play. Looks like he's not going to ever play for the Packers.
Hooray. As a Packers fan, I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
Not happy that he's hurt, but I mean, well, maybe not.
All right. Kirk Cousins is the Homer Vikings pick. I'm seeing NBC Sports Edge is saying, and this is confirming stuff up here in Seattle. Seattle Times reporting that Gerald Everett is already becoming a favorite target for Russell Wilson. Gerald, super
elusive. Got him for kill. He's
getting open.
Who drafted him in? I got a deal on him.
Has anyone gotten a deal on him? I don't know.
He was up earlier, I believe.
Yeah, he wasn't minimum, but it was pretty cheap.
Yeah, Everett went to somebody, I don't remember, but he's gone.
Yeah, so they still have to re-sign, like Dwayne Brown still is in practice because he's seeking a new deal. But I like they've been talking up Everett for a little bit, but there's so many tight ends. It's like you could say any of these guys could pop like once, you know, from tight end 5 to tight end 20. I'm going to stop the recording now because I think we've gone through a fair bit of players. So we got through 54 players so far in a little over an hour. We'll put this up on the pod, but we'll still hang out after. So I will stop the recording.
Matt, if you just waited a second, just to go off your point there about the tight ends. I know for myself, they're a nominated player. Just that, you know, because I was spending so much money on Gibson, I kind of was like, I'm not going to bid up any tight ends as much like Jonnu Smith only went for 1 year, $1 million. I would have loved to bid that up, but I was kind of, told myself I wasn't going to and kind of stayed disciplined. And Hooper for minimum, I think does the trick there to your credit.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, let me stop this.